My guest today is Lieber Andras. He is the music director of the Great Lakes Chamber Orchestra and also director of orchestras and professor of upper strings at Grand Rapids Community College, and he's a violist. Welcome, Lieber. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Judy. Pleasure.
Well, this week we are in the midst of our Beethoven birthday bash. So it's all things Beethoven this week. And as you know, of course, he wrote so much music, just a staggering amount of music, piano music, concertos, symphonies, overtures, music for plays, so much music. But a big chunk of the music that Beethoven composed was chamber music, and that's your specialty and a favorite of yours. First of all, what is chamber music? Briefly describe chamber music.
So chamber music is a medium that's very close to Beethoven and many other composers because it allows for very intimate conversation. And the conversation happens among the few players that are performing the piece. And it could be anything from a duo to octet or nonet, anything short of, say, string orchestra or small chamber orchestra.
And what is or was the purpose of chamber music when Beethoven was composing?
Well, it originally started as a way to entertain themselves, these composers, starting with Haydn, would write these pieces to be performed with his friends and enjoy a wonderful musical conversation with his peers. It was only in the early 19th century that this medium have moved from homemaking to center stage of the concert hall. So when Beethoven came on scene, that medium has changed quite a lot from a very intimate home atmosphere to one that perhaps could be observed and enjoyed by many in a concert hall.
And as a composer, say, like Beethoven, working with a smaller group of people, is that an easier thing to do because you have just a few parts and you don't have to compose for a large orchestra? Or is that maybe in some ways more difficult because you have to say what you want to say with just a few parts?
I think the second is probably more accurate assumption, because you have so many fewer voices to work with. And Beethoven, being such a symphonist and composer that knew his orchestra from experience, because he himself as a teenager played in one, and I have to mention this, he was a violist.
Yes, he was a violist.
Orchestra. yeah. I think that experience has enabled him to distill the essence of what the string writing was then later in his chamber music and his symphonies, of course, but mainly chamber music. And I think that having to work with fewer voices really put a lot of restraint and also challenge in front of the composer, because he is then more and more dependent on the thematic development rather than, let's say, orchestrating effects. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are those too, and he pushed those boundaries and he extended the range and he did look and seek for different colors and combinations, whether it was through the use of extended technique, you know, like his harp string quartet, where he uses the pizzicato to sort of imitate the sound of harp, and others, other quartets where he uses really, really loud and kind of a very strong sound, and then juxtapones it with very intimate and very folk-like and very sweet melodies and sounds. But I think the focus really is on that compositional technique, thematic development. And when we talk about compositional technique, he realized the importance of counterpoint writing and ability to incorporate that into chamber music writing especially.
And especially in his string quartets, those were kind of game changers, weren't they?
Yeah, by all means. I think that string quartets for him started sort of late or later in his compositional experience. When he moved to Vienna in 1792, Haydn has already written his famous Opus 30 quartet, and then he was in a process of publishing his late quartets. Mozart has already published his Haydn quartet. So the field was not just saturated, but the bar was quite high. And so Beethoven really practiced first and hesitated before approaching his first opus, Opus 18 of his string quartet. And even after he began, after completing first few of those Opus 18 quartets, he went back and revised the first and the second one. And so luckily we have two copies of the first quartet, F major, and we see how his compositional process have changed, and we can compare the two. And so we can see that this was a very laborious effort, and he really wanted to change how he perceived string writing for string quartet. And then, of course, as he moves along with the medium and matures as a composer, things change. In his middle quartets, his Razumovsky's quartets, we see the sheer complexity and size increasing and demands on the players. I mean, these are quartets that are borderline virtuosic, where the performers start to complain about not being able to play them, or having to practice too much before performance. So this is the time where I think that medium crosses that borderline of homemaking to homemaking music to, you know, performance music that's performed on a concert stage. And then, you know, as he matures further in his late period, his last five quartets have completely changed. They were game changers altogether, where he explores so many contrasts with the formal. He introduces everything and explores everything from variation form, sonata form, of course counterpoint. That's quite a few fugues that he uses in his late quartets. He smears the contrast between movements, so we go attacca from movement to movement, and the number of movement changes. You know, some of those quartets are five, some of them are six movements. There's one that's seven movements, and then the change in the character and mood shifts so quickly that I think to audiences that would experience or be present at the performance of his early quartets, it would almost seem grotesque, the way he achieves mood shifts is just immense. And then some of those very late quartets are so far removed from really a classical experience. I mean, if we look at the Grosse Fugue, the one that was written as a final movement for Opus 130, and then he chose to publish it separately, and it is quite a different piece than any of his quartets in early or middle period.
And to put that into some context for listeners, Beethoven lived from 1770 to 1827, and we've been talking about the quartets. There's the early quartets that were probably written maybe in the early 1800s, maybe around 1800, and then the middle quartets, 1806-ish to 1810, and then those late quartets, not until 1823 to the end of his life, maybe around 1826. So that's quite a wide span there of development. And as you mentioned, by the end there, Beethoven was completely deaf and having all kinds of other troubles too. So to hear that progression of sort of lighter music into very, like you said, almost grotesque, sort of follows the path of his life too.
Yeah, for sure. Many musicologists went on to debate whether some of those things that you've mentioned, one of those, his loss of hearing, has in any way changed or impeded some of those late compositions. And, many argue that it really was the distilled essence of his compositional technique that produced these things. And some of those quartets, even according to Beethoven's own world, were really not intended to be performed, like this Opus 95, to be performed in public, because he felt that the music might be ahead of its time and that it was really intended for a small group of connoisseurs rather than public performance.
Oh, wow. That's very interesting. So do you have a few favorites of the quartets that we can share with our listeners today?
Oh, yes. Every single opus has so many gems that I like to go to. In his Opus 18, the slow movements of number 1 and number 6, especially the number 6, the La Malinconia, which is really a labyrinth of harmonic schemes. It's so interesting and challenging to navigate harmonically. But also the scherzo that follows it, which has a very complicated vacillation between noted 3-4 meter and perceived 6-8. Those are just so out of ordinary, even for young Beethoven and the time where these were composed and performed. And of course, in his middle quartet, who doesn't love the slow movement of his second of the 359 opus quartets, in which he again indicates that this is a movement that needs to be played with a great delicacy. Apparently, this was the music that sort of appeared or Beethoven thought of when he was contemplating starry skies and thinking of the music of the spheres. So there again, besides some of those movements being infused with Russian themes, which he, of course, acted in deference toward his benefactor, Count Razumovsky, who was also a very talented cellist. But that second movement is just so unique. I love the Serioso Quartet, of course, because there again, the amount of intense compositional work is almost distilling the music to the very, very essence. That connection of minor second C to D flat, this pairing of the notes and D flat to C, this slow interval movement and fugal character of the movement of the slow movement, and then again typical Beethoven, the finale, which is the presto, which shows a huge contrast of mood in comparison, to previous movement. And then I love to listen to the Große Fugue from his late quartets. It's, as I said, so far removed from the classical experience. We know that Beethoven was introduced to Bach's music early on by his teacher, Mr. Neffe. He introduced him to Welt-Empire Klavier. When Beethoven came to Vienna, he often performed some of the Bach's preludes and fugues. And we know that he turned his attention to counterpoint toward the end of his life, probably more intensely. He studied counterpoint when he got to Vienna with one of the best teachers and masters of counterpoint, Mr. Albersberger. So this demonstration of the finest art or fugue writing in that particular movement, I think, is just unparalleled. And again, sets the path for the future of the string quartet writing. And the sound palette is just groundbreaking in that respect. So if you compare the early quartet and the Grosse Fugue, or the C-sharp minor opus 131, same thing. So those are some of the favorites, and I'm sure not just of mine, but many connoisseurs of the chamber music, and in particular of Beethoven. And we are just talking, of course, string quartets, but there's a vast output that that he contributed to chamber music as a whole, whether it's his violin sonatas or cello sonatas. And then, of course, his piano trios, which the Ghost or Archduke, they transcend the orchestral symphonic into the chamber music, where, again, Beethoven demonstrates how he can distill the essence of the sound and of compositional technique to achieve the sheer beauty in such an intimate setting and yet sounding so, so symphonic on a large scale. So that's just some of those examples that, if I were to be stranded on the island and had to choose some composer or particular genre, this would definitely be it.
Your desert island music, that's good to know. But as a violist and having played many of these quartets, what is it like as a musician? What is it like for you? What do you love about playing those quartets?
Well, I by having the experience of conducting, of course, my experience turns to that vertical perception, and I love studying these quartets. In fact, one of the things that has changed during the Beethoven's time, and in his particular case of the quartet writing, is middle and late quartets were actually for the first time ever published a score. So they are meant to be studied. But of course, for me as a violist, is that viewpoint of being in the middle of the ensemble, and not just, you know, supplementing my own line, but experiencing how it interacts with the upper and the lower register of the ensemble, and his ability to develop themes, and his sharing those the material among the players, where it's real true conversation, and its technical challenges. Of course, I mean, he has, as I mentioned, put so much more in terms of technical demand on every player in the ensemble, expanding the range, expressive range, and demanding virtuosity on the level that has not been really experienced much before, are all of those attributes that I love when working on Beethoven's quartets.
And of course, in playing chamber music, there's just one on a part, so there's nowhere to hide. You have to really know your stuff and make it work with the other folks in the group, too.
Yes, definitely. And that's the beauty of chamber music playing, because it really is like feeding off each other's inspiration. And so although you are just by yourself on the part, you feel that support that permeates through the ensemble from your colleagues, from your conversationalists there. And that in that way, I think you feel so much more supported and stronger. And, you know, it demands a greater musicianship on everybody's part. So I think in that respect, it really brings out the best in everybody in the ensemble. And also, I think this is the medium that Beethoven himself, toward the end of his life, as he confessed this to his very close friend, Ries, mentioned that, you know, piano being his sort of primary instrument, although he knew how to play viola and violin, and of course organ, he mentioned that piano in that respect isn't really an ideal instrument, and that it is the string quartet because it has all the attributes the composer that wants to share some really intimate thought, all the attributes that, that those thoughts could be produced by. And that is, you know, you can have the expression, you get the sostenuto, you get the range of dynamics, range of articulation, you've got those four voices, the distillation of the essential harmonic and melodic language, and then you've got also the rhythmic and textual contrast. So he very much favored that, and the fact that he has written all these last quartets in last years of his life. In fact, the very last multi-movement work, the Opus 135 in F major, that he composed was for the string quartet. I think that speaks to the fact that string quartet was very important and to Beethoven, and that he really favored that medium a lot.
Libor Andras, thank you so much for joining in our WCMU Beethoven Birthday Bash Week and telling us all about the string quartets and other chamber music that Beethoven composed, and letting us know all about that and sharing some of your favorites. And we will continue to do that throughout the week here on WCMU. Thanks again.
Thank you, Judy, and thank you for sharing all of this music and information about Beethoven with our audiences. I think this is a wonderful opportunity for them to join in and stay connected through the music.